Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
This is the ice cold Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I am legitimately not kidding you. I am the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So if you swing on over there, you can check out the new blog that went up this morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, come on, you know this by now, it's at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z-Man. Three.
All right, Dan. Well, it appears this Anthony Davis story with LeBron James is just never going to go away. You know, I know just after we went off the air yesterday, it was announced that the NBA stepped in and did fine Davis $50,000 because I didn't realize that it's actually against NBA rule to mention that you want to be traded. The humorous thing about that, of course, is Anthony Davis is going to make $25 million this season. So fining him $50,000 is basically like borrowing a dollar from Dan. So, but I guess on the plus side, they can say they did something.
Yeah, well, I was laughing when I saw that because I immediately thought, I just thought about you and, you know, what are they going to do to LeBron?
Yeah, well, I think we clearly know that absolutely nothing is going to happen to LeBron, and you've got to kind of look at it. I kind of thought about this a little yesterday after, you know, we were done and I had, a little more time to look at the situation. If you think about it, if you're the NBA, would you like to see Anthony Davis in big market Los Angeles playing on a team that will contend for a championship with another great player in LeBron James, or would you like to have him sitting in small market New Orleans where they're not going to make the playoffs this year and probably struggle to do so in the next few years? So where do you want him, Dan, if you're the NBA?
In Los Angeles.
Right. So that's going to happen. I am getting a kick now out about how all these other teams have jumped in. You know, the Trailblazers are interested. You know, Portland's going to come out if they want him. You know, Philadelphia has jumped in. We all know the Celtics are interested. It doesn't matter what or how these other teams do. He's going to the Lakers. I mean, bottom line, that's it. So, you know, unless the NBA bans him from going there, he will be a Laker, plain and simple.
Do you think he gets like a $50,000 incentive when he goes to L.A. and they give him $50,000 for showing up?
Well, if you think about it, Dan, all LeBron has to do is put him in one commercial and he makes that money back.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like it's going to be that big of a deal. And, you know, I mean, it wouldn't even surprise me, honestly, if LeBron pays the fine under the table for him. So, you know, it's just one of those, you know, one of those situations. I mean, I'm not gonna like it. I'm gonna hate this, but I'm gonna have to live with it. And you know, it just adds to my growing list of reasons why I don't like the NBA. You know, this will just be one more. I mean, guys no longer want to beat other players. They want to be teammates with these other players, and it's just so weird because it be like that. I mean, you know, back in the day, you know, Magic Johnson wanted to beat Larry Bird, and Larry Bird wanted to beat Magic Johnson and Julius Erving, and Michael Jordan wanted to beat everybody. You know, now they all want to be best buddies and go on vacations and, you know, hang out and, you know, be with the same agents and, you know, I don't know, maybe share wives in some cases. I don't know how that goes with these guys, but, you know, it's just, it's boring. You know, why do I want to watch this?
Well, and not only that, you know, like in Major League Baseball, you know, guys believe the team. Which we'll see in a few years with Chris Bryant and several other players like Eloy Jimenez because of that arbitration rule. But, you know, the money that they'll get offered, like Chris Bryant got off the team of college, which is not anything near what he's worth or what his contract will be worth when he goes into free agency, they don't have that problem in the NBA. They get the money on the team they're on.
Well, you know, they have, you know, that nice rule where you can give the guy, you know, I think it's 5 years and $250 million to keep him, and, you know, after he's been with you for a certain length of time or something like that. So, and, you know, I like that rule because obviously it's nice to see a guy play his whole career with one team. You know, which we don't see too much anymore in really any sport. But, you know, even these kind of things really aren't a deterrent to stop guys from jumping teams. You know, I mean, Kevin Durant left a pretty good team in Oklahoma City, you know, because he wanted to win titles. You know, Davis is going to walk away from all this money when, you know, his time comes, and I just don't, you know, I guess with all the money they make, it doesn't matter how much more you give them.
No, well, and, well, okay, well, you know, Kevin Durant left after Kevin Hart. Oh, James Harden left. Mixing all my names up together. So it kind of, you know, they could have built something else together, but, you know, James Harden knocked it out first. And, I mean, can you imagine if that team was still together? Would the NBA be all Warriors? Or would Oklahoma actually be in the mix if you had Durant, Russell, I almost call him Russell Wilson again, Westbrook, and then James Harden? But James Harden seems to start falling, but it's not really his star that's falling. It's the Rockets, who just can't seem to put it together around a guy who can score, you know, 100 points in one game or in two games, and they still lose.
Yeah, well, you know, the tough thing with Oklahoma City is, you know, they couldn't sign all three of those guys, so one of them had to go, and it ended up being Harden. You know, obviously they were hoping for Durant to stay and re-sign, but, yeah, you know, he walked away from – you know, a boatload of money, you know, to go to Golden State. And obviously, you know, he's won a couple titles since then. And, you know, I think he's a free agent after this season. And, you know, there's lots of talks about where he's going to go, but, you know, we'll see. I don't know. It's just one of those, you know, odd situations where, you know, would he actually consider, you know, a lot of people think he's going to go home and he's going to go play with Washington. And then, of course, oddly, humorously, I guess we should say, Dan, there's other people reporting that he's going to go to the Knicks, which seems to happen every time somebody is out there, and I just don't know why. So.
Was he in New York at the Madison Square Garden?
Not to my knowledge. But, yeah, it's just, you know, it's just another one of those situations where every, you know, I guess it's just New York because the Knicks are obviously like the Yankees of the NBA. Everybody's going to play with the Knicks, even though they suck. But everybody's going to want to go play there. And I just don't think that New York is really the attraction it used to be as an, you know, as an NBA destination. You know, the owner has a horrible reputation. You know, he's easily one of the worst owners, in, if not the worst. And, you know, I mean, the team is just, you know, unsalvageable at this point. Why in the hell would you go play there?
Yeah, well, and it's funny you say that because, you know, here in Chicago, we have one of the most interesting owners for those two teams. And then, but they have the worst front office. And then New York has probably one of the worst owners that, you know, bans former players because they speak out.
So, yeah, it's just one of those, you know, one of the goofiest situations. And I'm, you know, well, it's kind of like, I mean, how many times did we hear that either Harper or Machado was going to the Yankees? And the Yankees actually had to come out again today and say they're not preparing an offer for Bryce Harper. You know, I mean, it's just this odd stuff that the media just won't let go. It's just kind of like, well, we want him to go to, you know, we want him to go to New York, so we're going to make sure he goes to New York. And, yeah, I just kind of like, wait, what? He's doing the hoop butt? You where does he play?
Is that why we don't get as many likes, listens, shares, or whatever, because we don't just come out with the headline grabs? Harper to New York.
Yeah, because we're not incredibly stupid, and we realize that he's not going to New York. No,
because they only have to trade away, you know, they only have 5 or 6 outfielders already.
Right.
Who are all high quality players.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, we're talking about a team that can't get Clint Frazier on the field, who looks like going to be a really good Major League Baseball player if he can get to the bats. And, you know, and that is as long as he's over his concussion that sidelined him last year, which I'd like to think, you know. Yeah, so, you know, you're just kind of like, really, we're going to add one more guy. And, I get that Bryce Harper is a fantastic player and a lot of teams are going to want him, but, yeah, who the hell are we trading? You know, you're going to get somebody to take Giancarlo Stanton or Aaron Judge? I'm sure a lot of teams would be lining up to take Aaron Judge with the contract he's carrying right now. But you're not getting anything for Brett Gardner. I don't think anybody's taking Aaron Hicks. So great. Okay, who are you moving to play Harper? You know, don't try to tell me, well, he'll just play first base. Yeah, I don't think so. So
no, you just release guys because it's the NFL and you don't have to pay them. Oh, wait, no, it's Major League Baseball and their contracts are guaranteed.
Yeah, well, wrong league there. You'd have to fork out all that money to guys when they, it's one of those situations. Yeah, it's not the Not the joy of the NFL where you can just say, hey, pack up your stuff, you're out of here, you're not getting any money. So, but yeah, it's just kind of strange when I keep hearing these things. Oh, you know, so-and-so's going to be a free agent or so-and-so's on the trade market. Oh, well, you know, the Knicks will be in on him. Look for New York to be a really big player and he'll probably end up going there. He will? When who was the last guy that went to New York? Did I miss some big man? I mean, you know, the last big player who wanted to go to New York was Carmelo, and that's because he was from there. So, yeah, it's just kind of baffling. I'm like, oh, okay, great. Let's go to New York. So, all right, here, I found this article. Dan, who is the biggest player in the Anthony Davis trade market? So let's see if they actually have some names listed or if they're just going to yank our chains here. So, of course, Dan, you know, the Lakers, you know, we knew that. They mentioned the Celtics, even though they can't get involved until June. And, where did it just go? Where did it go? Oh, the damn ad popped up. And, of course, Dan, guess who?
Who?
Oh, the New York Knicks. So there you go. There's the top three landing spots this guy has for Anthony Davis. The Lakers, where I believe we all know he's probably going to end up. And this is Brian Windhorst, who basically covers the NBA from LeBron's jockstrap. He's got him going to the Lakers. Then he adds the Celtics, who can't get involved until June because of signing Kyrie Irving. They call it the Derrick Rose rule. So they can't even get involved in this deal until June. I believe the only way they could is if Irving is involved in the deal. And then the Knicks. Okay, well, I can understand, Davis is going to pick his team. I can see, I can understand him wanting to go to the Lakers because he's with LeBron's agency, and LeBron has probably already set up the deal. And, you want to go to the Celtics, I could see that. They're one of the, they're one of the better teams, in the East. And, I know the Bulls suck, but he is from Chicago. So if their name would have came up, I wouldn't have had a huge issue with that popping up. But the Knicks, really, he's going to agree to go to a 10-39 team that's currently the worst in the Eastern Conference and have lost 10 consecutive games? Dan, sell this to me, Dan. Help me out here. Why is he going to New York?
To play in the Garden.
Yeah. Do you think that's got any appeal now?
I don't know. You do know when he will come to the Bulls, though, right?
When he's washed up.
Yeah. In about 10 years, he's probably gotten a ring or two. Wants that last $20 million contract. Yeah.
And decided he wants to play close to home. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, here's your choices, Dan. I mentioned the Knicks 39, so you could go there. You could go to the 31-19 Celtics, who are currently fifth in the Eastern Conference, or the 26-25 Lakers, who are two games out of the final playoff spot in the West. But yet I'm going to take the team that's 26 games out of first place and agree to go there. Yeah. Give it up. You can't sell me enough on this. And I get it. The NBA has always wanted the Knicks to be good. I mean, they set up so they could get Patrick Ewing back in the day because he was a hometown guy. I'm assuming they'll get the number one pick this year so they can take Zion Williamson. They can try to rebuild the franchise again, but I guess if you get Williamson with a healthy Kristaps Porzingis, I don't think you're a playoff team, but you're probably a little improved next year. I don't get it. It's like, yeah, okay, great.
Oh, the good old NBA.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just kind of... kind of baffling when I start thinking about all this stuff on the plus side, at least Brandon Ingram had a huge game last night for the Lakers, and he's one of the guys rumored to be in the Davis trade when he goes to LA. So it looks like they might be getting at least one talented piece back with, you know, the other miscellaneous BS that they're, you know, going to get. You know, but we'll see. How it goes. But yeah, it's just so nuts. It's just like, what the heck is gonna go on? And, you know, in reality, I mean, it's probably best for the Pelicans to hang on to him as long as they can, and just let things build up. And, you know, maybe they can get a great offer out of it, because they're going to need a lot of help.
Yeah, I think the best selection, well, for anybody would be for Davis to go to Boston. And I heard rumors that Boston was looking into it, but that was, of course, I think even before the season started. And it hasn't happened still, so I don't think that one's happening.
So, yeah, you know, other than that, it's weird because there's not a lot of other really big names that are even interested in being moved.
Bless you.
Ooh, there you go. There's a win, three in a row. It looks like once or if Davis finally gets moved, you know, the Pelicans will kind of do a complete strip down and go through their rebuild, because there is talks they're going to try to move former Bull Nikola Mirotic. Oddly enough, another former Bull, Etuan Moore, who had a cup of coffee here, and then Julius Randle in some type of trades before the deadline, which is February 25th, to try to stockpile some draft picks. So New Orleans, enjoy being the worst team in the Western Conference for probably the next 8 years. If you're going to dump anybody with, all the players with any kind of talent on your team, you're going to be hurting out west. And we thought the Bulls had it bad, Dan. there's a question for you, Dan. If the Pelicans do make all these moves, we know Davis is gone, but say they move Mirotic, Randle, and Moore, who gets better first, the Bulls or the Pelicans?
I think the Bulls.
Not sure about that, but you think?
Well, it's one of those where you forget that the Pelicans exist.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, they've got this really good player. And then he's going to be gone. So then you're going to be like, oh. You know, when your team plays the Pelicans again, you'll be like, oh, who's that? Oh, yeah, I forgot New Orleans has a team.
Yeah, and I know the other team looking to try to make some moves are the Pistons. But with the names that have came out, none of these guys really floor me, so I can't see teams lining up to get them. They got about seven names here, Dan. I'm going to run them down, and then you can tell me how you feel about each of them. Reggie Bullock, Ish Smith, Stanley Johnson, Luke Kennard, John, I believe it's pronounced Lurie, and then Reggie Jackson, not the baseball-playing Reggie Jackson, the NBA Reggie Jackson. Apparently they would be willing to move any and all of those guys in the right deals. Humorously, this guy who puts this article together tries to come up with a hypothetical deal for Bradley Beal. I know Washington would love to dump either his or Wall's contract, but I don't see them taking any combination or even all of these players in return for Beal, because I don't think they equal up to his talent. Do you?
No, I don't.
So it's just kind of how it is right now in the NBA. It doesn't look like, as the deadline is cruising up on us, it just seems that there aren't a bunch of gigantic names. You know, now that Jimmy Butler was moved, Davis is really the big name out there. I mean, I know the Sixers are in pursuit of Dwayne Dedmon, who's the Atlanta Hawks center, but, you know, he's not a gigantic name. So, yeah, it's tough to find a guy unless, like I said, the Wizards make that move and we see Beal or Wall go. Do you think we see another big-name guy get moved besides Anthony Davis?
I mean, I would think it would be likely that one of those two gets moved, seeing as I know they supposedly have issues with each other, but who's on my team again who doesn't play?
John Wall.
Who did you trade to me? Yeah.
John Wall.
So, and then once he got hurt, didn't they start playing better? Or was that last season?
I think that was last season. So. But, yeah, I just, you know, yeah, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, hey, great, here we go. So. But I guess we'll see. I mean, February 25th isn't that far away, so we'll be, you know, be seeing if anybody gears up for a playoff run or, you know, who tries to do what. You know, maybe the Bulls will add a couple pieces and, you know, make a big playoff run here.
Well, now that you're done being a comedian.
What?
There was a couple of signings and retirements yesterday. After, I guess, I'm assuming they processed after our podcast ended. But Dillon G and Jared Saltalamacchia finally thrown in the cleats. So you think Salty will be a special assistant?
Yeah. Yeah, when did these guys start their special assistant jobs? So I actually didn't see the Dillon G one. I saw Saltalamacchia, but I didn't see Dillon G.
So does Salty have a job with the Cubs next year?
Was he there when Theo was a Red Sox?
It doesn't matter, does it?
Well, he was there. What, 11, 12, and 13. Was Theo there?
I believe so. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, so yeah.
But you remember?
Yeah.
Chili wasn't. He wasn't there with Chili Davis.
I'm sure there's a job there waiting for him if he, if he wants it. So.
You know, to help out Victor Caratini.
Yeah, it's weird when you look at it, but Saltalamacchia hung around for part of 12 seasons. In baseball, so granted he only played 5 games in the majors last year, but it still counts towards his pension. So
yeah,
and they estimate he made about a little over almost $31 million. So not a bad gig if you can get it.
No, not at all. Major small signing and just. Because it's a name that we recognize. Emilio Bonifacio has got a minor league deal with the Rays. But, I know it's a minor league deal and such, but with what the Rays are doing or aren't doing, do you see him playing in the majors for them? I know they've pretty much got an outfield.
You know, not only is it a minor league deal, but he also got the invite to spring training, which is important. Oh. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, they seem to be able to do stuff with guys, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? He's a guy who can legitimately play probably every position in base. So there are spots for guys like that. As long as he can find ways to get on base, he's still a stolen base threat. There's room for a guy like that, and Tampa Bay seems to really like these kind of guys. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he's on the opening day roster. I mean, I don't know how much playing time he would get, but that wouldn't surprise me. So, but yeah, there were.
That's why I said it was a small one. I thought it kind of, you know, it was definitely one of their moves, and you got another guy who's still getting a chance. Staying in Florida, the Marlins gave Neil Walker a $2 million contract.
Yeah, you know, definitely a good move. I mean, I know he had a down year with the Yankees last year, but, you know, career-wise, you know, Neil Walker is a really solid player. I don't know. Again, you know, we're looking at a guy who, I don't know how much playing time he's going to get. I mean, Starlin Castro is kind of entrenched at second base. But, you know, Walker can play first. He can play third. You know, I know last year he spent time at the corner outfield spot for the Yankees. So, you know, I mean, if, you know, maybe he does that again and finds some at bats.
Well, that's where I was going to ask you. It becomes interesting with the fact that Castro, that's kind of his mainstay since Addison Russell came around. No. Do you think that maybe they might be shopping him finally? And he might be gone from the Marlins by the trade deadline?
Yeah, you know, with them, it's always possible. You know, because obviously they're still many, many years away from winning. And you would have to think any contender looking for middle infield help would be interested in Castro. I don't know if you'd want to plug him in at short, but obviously he can play second. And he you know, he'd probably have some success at third base if you pushed him over there for just, you know, minimal innings. So, yeah, it is possible. I mean, I honestly thought he was going to be gone last year. I'm surprised he spent the entire year there. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, you've got to think after Realmuto, he's the next guy on the team with any value, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I hope that one gets kind of wrapped up soon. So, but the last one, really, I guess, is the Diamondbacks shoring up their bullpen and gave Greg Holland 3.25 for a season. Not a bad deal. He's obviously not going to get that closer role, but.
You know, I mean, you know, if you're getting the Greg Holland that pitched for Washington and not St. Louis, you've kind of got a steal on your hands. You know, because he was fantastic in Washington. I got to grab his numbers here. You know, when he got to the Nationals, what did he do here? He pitched in 24 games and had a 0.84 ERA. This is a stark contrast in St. Louis, where he appeared in 32 games and had a 7.92 ERA. So, you know, obviously, again, if you're getting that Washington Greg Holland, you know, the Diamondbacks, even though they're not contenders anymore after their kind of tear down, you know, you're looking at a guy who could be a piece in a deal to bring something back if he's good. You know, I mean, we are talking about a guy who just a couple years ago led the league in saves with 41 in Colorado. So, you know, it's not like doesn't have experience. You know, I mean, he does have 47, 46 saves with Kansas City. I believe it was the back-to-back years they went to the World Series. So we're looking at a pretty good pitcher here as long as he's healthy.
Yeah, well, it's funny you brought up those 2 years because you remember, of course, everyone in Major League Baseball going, Ned Yost has the ultimate strategy for baseball, you know, get your pitcher through the six, and then you got the 7, 8, 9, and then, you know, that ended. They won their series and then kind of fell apart after that, but then all of a sudden it was, the rebuild. We got to do the rebuild. And, you know, it only counts because the Cubs and the Astros did it, where, I mean, I don't know if you'd really call what Kansas City did a rebuild, seeing as they, you know, hadn't touched the playoffs in, 30 years, but the Cubs really didn't have a playoff run to speak of. And the Astros got knocked out by the White Sox. So, it's one of those things. But, you know, it's funny because they pretty much while they say that the Cubs and the Astros did it, do you think the Cubs and the Astros did it more of a sabermetric style where the Royals just really picked guys? That it wasn't all about the metrics?
You got to remember, the Royals don't do this by choice. The Royals do it because they're a small market team, and they don't have the assets to just go out and sign these guys. So, yeah, it's not like the Royals said, oh, yeah, well, let's rip this up and rebuild. You know, the Royals did it because guys went away and big money deals from other teams. So, the Royals for the longest time struggled with that rebuild. You know, like you said, they were out of the playoffs for a very long time. And like a lot of things, you make those draft picks, and if, you know, they don't hit for you, then, you know, you're kind of in limbo there, especially in baseball. It seems that if you miss on a draft pick or two, you really kind of oddly kind of pay for it, and you would think it wouldn't be like that, but, you know, it really is. And for a while there, you know, they had their scuffles, and, you know, you just kind of wonder if, you know, they're back on track now, or, you know, if they're gonna, go through another really long rebuild of things, waiting to get back in. So,
well, do you think, you know, the Cubs, obviously, they'll have the money to just do it all over again without really – I don't think they'll ever do a rebuild again. And if that's the thing that Theo wants to come out with, I don't think he'll have a job anymore. The last hurdle the Cubs have to go through, the ownership, of course, you know, what they're doing is redoing the neighborhood. But then once they get their TV deal, that's going to change everything. With the Astros, do you think this was kind of the Royals' way of doing it, where they've got this amount of time left, and once Altuve and, you know, company are gone, and Justin Verlander contract runs out and all the pitching, do you think they're back into that thing where we don't really hear about them for another 10, 15 years?
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing. I'm interested to see how both of these clubs handle it, because – you know, they're, like you said, they're going to run into situations. You know, here in Chicago, you're going to get, you know, Bryant, Baez, Contreras, and, you know, a couple more of those guys are all going to hit free agency right around the same time. You know, they're only a year apart or a couple years apart, where, like in Houston, I think Altuve did sign a long-term deal, but, you know, you're looking at Correa and Bregman. And then you've got Verlander and Garrett Cole, who are both actually up after this season. So it's going to be an interesting kind of situation to see how these teams handle it and who they think is, you know, expendable, more or less. I mean, you look at Houston, and it appears that they've decided Dallas Keuchel is expendable, because it looks like they're going to let him sign somewhere else. He hasn't really had any conversations with the Astros, and Charlie Morton gave them a good couple years. Remember, he was fantastic with them last year till he ran out of gas towards the end of the season, and they had to end up giving him some starts off. But, you know, they let him sign with Tampa Bay. So, you know, you got to kind of pick and choose your battles here. And, you know, that's where these teams are going to be. I mean, I'm guessing the Cubs see guys like Addison Russell and Alberto Almora as expendable, and they'll allow them to walk away when the time comes. But, you know, guys like Baez and Bryant are, you know, and you could throw Correa and Bregman in there, you know, they're both franchise-sustaining type of ball players. Can you let one of them go? I mean, those guys aren't that easily replaced.
No, and I think it's funny that you don't even bring up Chris Bryant.
No, I said Bryant. So.
Huh. Well, no, I just, No, and that's not like a, not like I'm saying that you think he's bad or anything, but I just kind of feel like the writing will be on the wall when the time comes, and that the Cubs won't re-sign him.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not Schomburg's Stew. I don't hate the guy, so you know.
Yeah.
I don't.
No,
know
I wasn't getting
him last year, like you know, a lot of people do. I mean, he was hurt. He played hurt. Had a bad year. You know, I'm not going to hold that against him. I'll give him the opportunity to bounce back, but. You know, I think Stu was ready to see him be traded this offseason.
No, and I was more so referring to, you know, it being a business and him not signing the deal they wanted now, which, you know, to me, I felt like it was one of those things where Theo was trying to get one by you, you know?
Yeah.
And then essentially, you know, turning the fan base against him. Because, I mean, as we both know, the game's a lot different now where you kind of can do that. I mean, they didn't do it with Addison Russell. They didn't have to, but, you know, he backpedaled on what he said. You know, oh, we don't draft character and we don't know the full extent of the character, which you never do. But years prior when these kids were all getting drafted, they were talking about how it's not just about how, you know, great of a player they are or how good they hit. It's about if they're going to fit in this clubhouse and their character and everything else, not just baseball. And then when Ricketts said, no, we're not going to give you the money to sign Bryce Harper, it was like, whoa, 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 well, you know, we're going to work with him now.
Well, you know, to be fair to the Cubs and, you know, these other teams that kind of do this, you know, the Astros went through with their closer last year. Fitting into the clubhouse and your personal life are two completely different things. You know, I mean, you just, no matter how much investigating you do into a person, you really don't know how they're going to act in a situation until they're in that situation. So, I mean, you couldn't tell me that, you know, when you were looking at a 19-year-old Addison Russell, that you knew this would happen, you know, or like the Astros, you know, with Roberto Ozuna. You know, you can't tell me you knew these things were going to happen because it's, you know, it's situations they'd never experienced before. You know, not that it makes it right or forgives them for doing it, but, you know, it's just something a team can't forecast. So, you know, I mean, I'm sure when they investigate these guys, oh, yeah, they're good character guys. You know, look at them. And it was actually the Blue Jays who dealt with them. They traded them to the Astros afterwards. You know, you just, you know, I mean, you know, obviously the team is going to take the heat for it, but you can't know that. You know, there's no way you could know that.
No, but I just felt like they backpedaled on him. And, you know, it's not like it was with the NFL a few years back and the whole Ray Rice crap where, you know, well, what's the punishment? 2 days or two games, the entire career, you know, 1 week. We can't figure it out. You know, baseball has an established policy in place. And they didn't have an issue with Chapman's alleged things that he really wasn't charged for, so it was kind of like, how are you just going to backpedal on your guy when you had no problem bringing in a guy who had the same issues coming into the season and you won a World Series with? It was okay then. You know, that's kind of where I was. What are you guys doing?
You know, neither Addison Russell or Roberto Ozuna were charged with anything.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, they don't have a criminal record. They have a baseball record, but they don't have a criminal record. You know, but that's just kind of how things work now. I mean, you know, you go to the sport first and let them handle it before, you know. And, I mean, if the situations were as bad as they were, you do wonder why nobody went to the police. But, you know, that's another story, I guess.
Money.
Yeah. So, but you did. There were a couple other, you know, if we can say minor signings, so to put it, that we were here on. The Pirates signed relief pitcher Brandon Maurer, who's been a bit of a journeyman setup type guy. He did close for the Padres a little bit in 2016 and 2017. Here with the Royals last year, 27 games, he was 0-4 with a 7.76 ERA. The Pirates are another one of those teams. You know, their pitching coach is Ray Cooge, and he kind of has a way of fixing these guys. So, you know, it's possible that, you know, Maurer could go there and get right. He's only 28. So, you know, and they're getting him on a, you know, I don't even think they gave the numbers here. What did they sign him to? Yeah, it's just a minor league deal, and I'm sure he'll be invited to spring training. So no real cost there. And then Mark Reynolds also inked another guy inked a minor league deal. Headed back to Colorado, Dan, after spending a year in Washington. Remember, he hit 30 home runs for the Rockies in 2017. You know, he hit 13 for the Nationals in just 86 games. So, you know, he's going back to some place where he's familiar, and, you know, I'm sure he'll be a backup at first base and probably left field. I don't know. You know, they got Arenado at third. I don't know if he'll end up with any time at third, but he could play there if they need him. And, yeah, he was in Colorado in, you know, 2016 and 2017, so he's going back to some place he's familiar with. But, yeah, those are, you know, just a couple of those guys who win deals. So slowly but surely we're getting these guys off the board, just not the, you know, the two big-name guys.
Yeah, and according to the media and, like, three baseball players who tweeted, this is going to ruin baseball and it might foresee a strike. Do you see that? Do you buy into that?
Well, I think they're going to go on strike when the contract, when their CBA comes up. But I don't think this is going to be the reason. You know, I mean, they have, you know, a whole lot of other issues that they need to work out, you know, before this. But, you know, I do wonder if maybe we're seeing baseball head towards a salary cap, you know, of some sort. I mean, I know they have the luxury tax, but I'm wondering if down the line there's not a, you know, a salary cap type of issue or something like that that they'll come up with.
You know, because it annoys me when I hear, just pay him what he's worth. Well, I'm sorry, but I think teams are becoming smarter to know that signing a guy for 10 years, regardless of the money, isn't the greatest deal to sign.
Well, you know, that holds the question, what's he worth? How do we know what he's worth? You know, and what's he going to be worth 5 years down the road, 6 years down the road, 10 years down the road? You know, if you can answer me those questions, hey, I'm happy. Yeah, sure, pay him what he's worth. But I don't know what that is. You know, and I mean, you know how it is, Dan. I mean, we've seen your buddy David Kaplan do it a million times on the local station in Chicago. You know, and even on that goofy Sports Talk Live television show he does. It is really easy to spend somebody else's money. And, you know, I mean, you know, yeah, oh, yeah, no, man, go out and pay him. Definitely. You know, give him $500 million over 10 years. You know, no problem. I don't have to pay it. Why do I care? You know, but obviously when you crunch the numbers and you got to look at it, and, you know, I can understand why teams aren't interested in this. I mean, you know, I can see going 5 years, you know, maybe you give him that 6 year option, but, you know, I thought the contracts the Cubs gave John Lester and Jason Hayward were too long. You know, luckily it looks like the Lester deal is going to work out, but, you know, Hayward is never going to put up the numbers that contract values. So, you know, it's just one of those things. So, yeah, that's, you know, that's great. You know, like I heard today again, you know, everybody still seems to be under the impression that Harper's going to end up with the Phillies. You know, I think you and I might be the only two guys who are convinced that he's going back to the Nationals. We'll have to see. But, you know, even today I heard somebody say that he's going to go to the Phillies on like a $280 million deal. And I'm like, well, why in the hell would he take that when the Nationals have already offered him $300 million? You know, and I think the Nationals are more of a contender than the Phillies are, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I was just kind of like, wait, this makes no sense at all when you're, you know, you're talking strategy or here. Okay, I'm going to go and make less money.
So. Well, not only that, while the Phillies may look like they can make a run over the next 2 to 3 seasons, I feel like the Nationals, what they've built and what they've set up, will continue for almost the term of a 10-year deal for Bryce Harper.
Yeah, you know, and obviously not that the Phillies are a bad team, and I think they have a shot to contend, but you know, yeah, I mean, the Nationals just, you know, and again, it's on paper, you know, I think the Nationals look like a little better team. So, you know, and again, why would you take $18 million less to go someplace else? You know, that seems like kind of an odd, I don't know what management strategy or agent strategy there on their part. You know, it's like, hey, I got you this deal for $282 million over 10 years. And I would be like, yeah, but wait, we've got a $300 million deal sitting over here. Why don't I want that one from teams that are pretty equal? So, but yeah, you know, and, you know, the other thing I can't figure out, Dan, is I'm guessing Mike Moustakas didn't learn anything from last year, and I really think he needs to maybe can Scott Boras, because Boras isn't doing him any favors, is he? I mean, this is the second year in a row he's out really late. There aren't too many third baseman openings left. Is he going to have to take another crappy one-year deal because he sat out this frickin' long again?
Yeah, I mean, is he going to the Padres? Do they have their third baseman?
No, well, remember, they want Machado to play third base, so they were in on that. Does he end up being like the Padres or the White Sox booby prize if they don't land Machado?
Pretty much. I mean, it would be interesting to see Moose in a White Sox unit.
So, yeah, because, I mean, you know, when you think about it, I mean, contender-wise, I don't think anybody's looking for a third baseman. So I don't think he's going to a contender. You know, so you throw that out. I mean, if he had hopes of going to the playoffs, you know, he's probably out there. I mean, he got to do that with Milwaukee last year. So, but, yeah, I don't see it happening again because if you start looking at the contenders, you know, the Yankees and the Red Sox both have young guys. The Indians want to go with one of their young guys. They're not spending any money. You know, the Astros are pretty set with Alec Bregman there. The Braves signed Donaldson. The Mets signed everybody. You know, the Phillies have Franco and the Nationals have Rendon. The Cubs aren't moving Bryant. The Reds actually have an overload of third baseman with Suarez as the starter and 2 minor league prospects. The Brewers are going to go with Travis Shaw, and the Cardinals are moving Matt Carpenter there. He's not unseating Justin Turner with the Dodgers, and he's definitely not unseating Nolan Arenado with the Rockies. That's about it contender-wise. So, you know, you're basically going to a non-playoff team because you sat around so long. The Braves were looking for a third baseman, but you waited so long they went with Donaldson.
Yeah.
You know, if you could have got in with the Cardinals before they made the Goldschmidt trade, maybe they don't make that trade, and Moustakas is their third baseman and Carpenter is their first baseman. But, again, you know, your agent was too busy playing with Bryce Harper to give a crap about where you end up. And you know, now, again, I mean, you know, you're going to end up with, you know, an under .500 White Sox team or an under .500 Padre team.
Well, and didn't you see a report that even he came out and said he didn't want to get signed, or he was waiting until after Machado?
And now yeah, he was waiting for Harper Machado to sign, which is just fantastic. You know, just fantastic negotiating technique there. So, you know, bravo. I'm sure his agent told him to say that. But, yeah, I just, you know, I mean, here's a guy who's, a really good player. I mean, he's actually a solid defensive third baseman. And, you know, he has a ton of power. I mean, in the right situation, he can get 30-plus home runs. And it literally just seems like, you know, either he's stupid or his agent's stupid or something just has a bad read on the market because he's getting bad advice somewhere.
Well, and, you know, I'm not going to say, like, hey, go out and jump on the first deal you get. But at the same time, it's negotiation. You know, you shouldn't sit out all winter not knowing. And then, you know, even turning down the qualifying last year, he lost the money. And then, well, the Royals re-signed him, so they didn't really even get a compensation pin.
No, well, you know, they traded him to Milwaukee, so that was their compensation.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, but that was the same thing with Dexter Fowler that year. And if it weren't for Jason Hayward's defense and a World Series, Fowler wouldn't be down in St. Louis making all that money.
Yeah.
You know, and all the baseball people, even the guys in St. Louis, are like, well, you know, if Dexter Fowler has a Dexter Fowler year, you mean if Dexter Fowler even comes remotely close to repeating what he did in Chicago for 2 years, then you might have, you know, something going on. But I think everyone knows who he is right now.
Yeah, no, you know, and I mean, he's a big key to the Cardinals season. He's going to need to have a bounce back year. So, you know, we'll see how, you know, how that goes and how it works out. But, you know, it's going to be important for them to be healthy. But, you know, we'll see. It'll just be, you know, just be interesting, you know, to see where Moustakas ends up and, you know, what kind of contract he can actually get after all this. Because, you know, I mean, if I'm a team, I'm not giving him big money, are you?
No, I'm not, especially not now.
No, you know, and I'm thinking, what, you figure 1 year and an option at the most for
him? Yeah. Well, and it's one of those where, like all the people wanted – Harper to come to Chicago, and we talked about it. Then they look desperate on who the hell they're going to pay. That's what he looks like.
Music means that Dan Wallace is going to take. Of course, you know, don't forget the podcast is available to the book.